Part A, whoever speaks, I'm using the Amplified. Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever, through endless ages. Amen. So be it. The press was part B, as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly. The other verse is verse 8. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. Forgive and disregard the offenses of others. And it's confirmed in Proverbs 10:12. Practice hospitality, verse 9, to one another. That is those of the house full of faith, the household of faith. Be hospitable. That is, be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for unknown guests, the foreigners of the poor, and all others who come your way, who are of Christ's body, meaning the body of Christ. And in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially and graciously, without complaining, but as representing him. Verse 5, but the will they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. A lot of people think that just because someone dies and they may not be completed like you are, or at the level that you are, God knows how to do it on the other side. For this is why the good news, the gospel, was preached in their lifetime, even to the dead, that though judged in fleshly bodies as men are, they might live in the spirit as God does. The end and culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound-minded and self-restraint. Self-restrained and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Practice hospitality to one another. That is those of the household of faith. Be hospitable. That is, be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guests and foreigners, the poor and all others who come your way, who are of Christ's body. That also means they may become part of the body down the road. You're just planting some seeds. And in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, without a motivation, cordially and graciously, without complaining, but as representing him. As each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse power and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor, which is grace. It's not something that you and I planned or coordinated. Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes. The strength is provided by him and not you. He'll bring confirmations when you least expect it. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ the Messiah. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, through endless ages. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered by the fiery or at the fiery ordeals which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your positions were befalling you. But in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice, so that when his glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph exultantly. Amen. If you are censured and suffered abuse because you bear the name of Christ, blessed are you, happy, fortunate, to be envied, with life's joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward condition. Because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God, is resting upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Isaiah 11, verse 2. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as some sort of criminal and as a mischief maker, a meddler in the affairs of others, infringing on their rights. But if one is ill-treated and suffers as a Christian, which he is contemptuously called, let him not be ashamed to give the glory to God that he is deemed worthy to suffer in his name. For the time has arrived for judgment to begin at the household of God, not somewhere else. The judgment starts with you and me. And if it begins with us, what will it be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news of the gospel of God? And if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the godless and the wicked? Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls in charge as a deposit to the one who created them and will never fail them. When I was looking at that this morning, I said, Lord, how much of what goes on in our lives do we single out? Oh, poor me. And how miserable I really am. Because maybe if I wasn't a believer, the enemy wouldn't be picking on me. Maybe it was easier before Christ, when I knew nothing. But now you see the fallacy of that lie. And when you see it, and you taste of his goodness, And you see the plan that's unfolding for you and for him. You see, there are things that happen to us, and we try to analyze it with our minds and in our hearts. But the more we trust, the more we go through different things, and we experience and hold each other's hand. Because sometimes, you know, you need Jesus with flesh on it.
Amen. Amen.
Because we need that touch. Pray for one another that you may be
healed.
Why do you have healing coming through each other?
We're a body.
Ah. Do you ever have a sore toe and take off your shoe and start looking to see, my God, what's wrong with my toe? And you look at it, so you use your eyes. You have feelings, so obviously your toe is sore because your feelings got involved. Well, you might apply a tape or a antibiotic or something to access healing. All of it is part of the body, taking care of itself. In case you forgot, I need you, but you need me too. And that's the way it works. We need each other. Woven together is the bread this morning, huh? See that? Woven together all around and cooked. Yeah. Some of us have been in the cooker for a few years. And maybe turning brown a little bit. And it's okay. When the Word of God says, you know, I will confirm, I will establish. I don't know, I can't speak for my brother, but I know that he had a press from the Lord to come and speak a word over me this morning. I can't verbatim say it all, but all I can tell you is it was exactly what this scripture says.
I wrote it down.
You wrote it down. Oh, how cool. Go for it, man.
You, my son, are the tip of the sword. Others try to conquer with might and power, but you understand that my real weapon is love. You exude love, my love being shown through you.
Clear?
Yeah.
Is that what the word says in 1 Peter? Mm-hmm. And that's why I began to weep, because, you know, I have doubts just like you guys. I question myself just like you guys. I say, okay, God, we're going for a ride, and we're on this ride together. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor across from each other and say, I need you.
I need you.
Sometimes I'm irritated.
Sometimes I'm irritated.
And you're the one.
You're the one.
That's going to straighten me out.
Straighten me out.
Even if it hurts.
Even if it hurts.
But I'll do it in love.
But I'll do it in love.
Not as an excuse.
Not as an excuse.